Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can all say, Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson which was read from Matthew chapter 2. Here we have all kinds of technical issues which people love to deal with. So, for example, I've heard sermons on whether from the East meant they were from Arabia or from Persia, mix-ups with the Christmas story because they arrived at the stable, how many wise men there were, that's a great theme, three gifts, but it doesn't mention how many wise men, as though we can't make an assumption. Then, of course, there is also this other fact, and that is that the wise men went to the house, another big deal. People seem to make a lot of that one in sermons about the Epiphany. But really, it's not about that. It's really a witness that Christ came for the Gentiles. The Magi represent all the unwashed Gentiles. There was no reason to believe that beyond being smart and having studied, that they were anything special. They may have been educated skeptics, perhaps even Manichaeans if they were from Persia. And here we have the star and the religious writings for them. And they would have been Zoroastrians, not Manichaeans. They came with gifts to wonder and adore at the baby born in Bethlehem. These are true believers. Their faith leads them to follow. What a strange thing. Gentiles who have no business coming come to worship the Lord. And they're very determined about it. They go and see Herod. Herod is the king. He must have a son. That must be who we're here to see. They fail to notice the star is a couple of miles away. Not exactly over Herod's house. But nonetheless, they go to Herod's palace. They talk to him. And the response of the usurper Herod is crafty. Is it in vain that it says, go tell that fox, in the very words of our Lord? He does not have time to come now. You go tell me about it, so that I too may come and worship. Herod is locked out. He is a pretender. He is like the Laodiceans, neither cold nor hot. He wants to be a Jew for the sake of his rule, but he does not wish to worship the Lord. And not only Herod, but if you look carefully at the story, also all those scholars who told Herod where the baby was to be born did not go either. You would think that the Jewish authorities, now knowing that these magi knew where the baby was going to be born, and now knowing these other things, would have said, let's go! But they didn't go either. God wants to save all. He would have all believe and come to a knowledge of the truth. Noah and the ark. Look at this. 100 years or more building the ark. A witness to the Gentiles that probably resulted in much mockery for Noah. A long time to repent, and yet nobody comes. The prophets of Baal and Elijah, well, when they saw the fire coming down from heaven, they should have made a little change of religious belief. The plagues of Egypt, I don't know if you noticed this, but by the 10th plague, the whole household is begging Pharaoh to give it up. Give it up, Pharaoh. The Egyptians have all come over. They know who the real God is, even if it's only out of fear. But Pharaoh won't budge. Then we have Cain, who should have been slain, right? Nineveh, where God is seeking repentance and forgiveness with a prophet who wants to see the city destroyed. After all, he wants to be a success. In Jesus' line, we have a Gentile prostitute, Rahab. We have one who played the ritual prostitute, Tamar. We have a wife of a Gentile who committed adultery with the king. Her name is not even mentioned in the text, but her name is Bathsheba. Jesus has unacceptable people in his line. But God uses and heralds these unacceptable people to make the line of Christ. He advertises the flaws. He is also ready to be an outsider, born of a virgin. That's problematic. Mary and Joseph have problems at best with that. He's thought to be from Nazareth, the wrong town. There was also the problem of the escape to Egypt and fleeing there at the prompting of the angel, then the return to Nazareth, all in response to the horrible, murderous Herod. And then there is the response of the Greeks, probably one of the most important, who want to see Jesus in the book of John. After so many not yets, my time has not yet come, the hour has not yet come for the Son of Man to be glorified. At this point, Jesus says, now is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. It is not enough for him to be the glory of the people Israel. He is a light to the Gentiles as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Or from 1 John, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here is God thinking big. He would save all that he created. He would that all would believe, even foolish Gentiles. So many who would have been saved by works, ability, lineage, intelligence, are rejected, and those with simple faith in Christ, even with misguided beliefs and knowledge, are called children of God. In 1 Corinthians, we read about the cross as foolishness to Greeks and Jews. The powerful and talented, those with status, then there is the foolishness of the cross there, which confronts them, and the love of God, loving God, at the scandalous cross. But God loves those who accept the message of sacrifice and salvation and repenting of their sins receive the gift of this Savior. We know that it is God's work doing this. It is not our own, and yet it is still true. We know that it was foolishness to the Greeks, it was anathema to the Jews, but it was salvation to all who believed. And what a scandal the cross was and is, but for all those who stumbled, others found refuge. So here comes the epiphany, the appearance, the newness, and where are we in all this? Do we sit back as the knowing scholars who answer Herod, picking apart the text with its little things to debate? Do we play Herod, ready to slaughter the innocents to maintain control? Or are we unworthy servants, those who declare that we have only done what is required of us? Are we as the Magi, the faithful receivers, those who God raises up to be the children of God? Are we those unacceptable sinners, amazed, overawed, and coming to worship and adore in our unworthiness? To these last, Christ gives his gifts, making us, as we will eventually become, prophets, priests, and kings for him. As we say in that great Advent hymn, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.